Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we take a look at the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. There broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. Stephen's being stoned to death caused great difficulty, and a severe persecution of the church broke out. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women. He handed them over for imprisonment. He had great zeal, but his zeal was definitely in the wrong direction. He was working against God. It's easy, brothers and sisters, when anger, even if we think it's righteous anger, and it isn't, but even then, we are so vulnerable to the enemy taking, even if we're angry about a just cause, and the cause is objectively a right thing to be concerned about, even then, it's just so easy for our own tempers and our own ideas to get control of us. But in this case, Saul is wrong. He's just wrong. Oh, brothers and sisters, how easy it is for us to start out on the right path and to get off the path. Or, as Saul's situation, Saul couldn't be persuaded at all. He was going to uphold the law with all he had. He had, in one sense, a good motive, but he was blinded by his anger and blinded by his fear. He thought he was doing what was right. We've got to be very careful, brothers and sisters, to make sure that what we're fighting for is the right thing to fight for. And then to ask the Lord, how should I fight? In what way should I fight? You ask God, you do that with the Lord, it'll bear fruit. But if you go off on your own, thinking, I've got a righteous cause here, and you start doing whatever it is you think you should do to change the situation, it usually ends up in a pretty bad spot. We end up, it's kind of catastrophic sometimes, because our anger gets control of us rather than anger, righteous anger, which is working for a just cause. If it's not a just cause, our anger can get hold of us and take us in directions we don't want. So we've got to be sure. Am I with the Lord? Do I understand his word? Do I see objectively that this situation is wrong? Then, Lord, teach me how to handle this. Always bring it to God. Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women. He handed them over for imprisonment. Now, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Now, see, God can bring good out of it, that people got scattered because of the warfare, but that enabled the gospel to spread. God can make good out of anything. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. So what did they do? They went out to preach the gospel, not out to spread the war, but out to preach the gospel. And look at the fruit. Am I following God's word? Do I see what the Lord is fighting against? Am I one with him? Do I seek for righteousness and goodness? Do I give generously? What's my spirit, my attitude? Is it conformable to God's? Do I look for what God is doing rather than something that interests me or offends me? And I get all bent out of shape trying to rectify it. Lord, what would you have me do? In every situation, especially when you're angry or you're hurt, Lord, what would you have me do? How do I handle this? God will show you if you can stop enough to ask that question. So Philip, as I said, goes down to the city of Samaria. He proclaims Christ to them, and with one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. And then the unclean spirits are cast out. That's not just a story for that age. It's a story for all time. Where am I in this picture? Or, if you want to do it, if I were in that period of time, how would I have reacted to Stephen and what he said? How would I have reacted to the crowds who wanted to kill Stephen? What would I have done? Put yourself in place here. And say, if I had known what they knew and didn't know what they didn't know, if I were in the same spot they were, what would I have done? You'd hope you'd do the very best thing, but what do you think in all likelihood you would have done? And then look at it and recognize that's a vulnerable area in you. Give it over to God. And say, Lord, this area of my life is not in accord with your gospel. Will you help me? Keep coming back to the Lord with it, asking for help, and he will give it to you. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. That's what God wants to do. He wants the earth to cry out. All of us shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. Praise him. Thank him. Bless him. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. The Father gave us to Jesus, who died for us. And we will be raised on the last day. Will I be raised up for life or for eternal death? For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. That's what God will do for us. He will raise us on the last day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are made for eternal life? You're made to live forever? You are a child of the living God. You are a son or a daughter of the Father. Jesus is your Savior. You can have the hope of eternal life. So let's live out of that hope. Let's bring our lives in accord with that hope, because that hope is real. That's not just an empty thought, I hope, I hope, I hope. There is real hope that puts its faith and trust in God, not in self, but in God. And then you know that God will give all good things to those who love him. Your hope is founded on God's promises. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I'm really asking you this right now. Do you believe that? There is a marvelous spiritual writer, Father Bede Jarrett, who died in 1934. And this is what he says about the state of our soul, and that it is communion that keeps us from getting lost. That's why we should go to the Eucharist again and again and again, feed that we might see clearly, hear clearly, receive the graces, be able to respond to them generously that God has for us. He says, now this surely is a very true interpretation of the purpose of Holy Communion. It is to give me the courage to persevere. It is to give me the courage to persevere. Too often, probably to me, has come the same swift change from presumption to despair, from the place of, oh, of course I'm going to be saved, to I'll never be saved. Perhaps I had thought that I had finally quelled some temptation or sin that had long bothered me, a chance sermon or a passage in a book or the remark of a friend, and at once the old world has come back to me. In other words, I'm a sinner, I'm never going to be better. Or it may be that it was some trifling but frequent failure that for a long distressed me and then was for a time overcome and driven from power. Always, however, the result was that, however successful for the moment I found myself, ultimately returning whither I had first begun. All the exceptional efforts and fierce resolutions and elaborate addition of prayers, all the feeling of having done great things, ended at best in a respite, which after all the stress appeared a complete victory. I thought to myself that the battle in that part of the field had been won, that I could rest now without precautions or guards, and then swiftly has come my fall, although months may at times elapse before my undoing is manifest. But all the same, the effect in my soul is a quick despair. What's the use of this struggle if it's always to end in defeat? I find myself utterly weary and hopeless. The old faults are still there, unconquered. At least they're not slain. Now it is just at this moment when I am so uncomfortable that I need the voice of God's angel to call me to the bread and the wine, for I have always yet a long way to go. By no means has the end come. Rather, because of my weariness and dismay, is my need for the food more urgent, that in that externally provided help, I may walk the rest of my appointed path. Courage is my greatest requirement, and it is here in the Eucharist that I shall find it. I think he depicts so clearly the turmoil and the struggle that can go on in us. And we win sometimes, but so often we're defeated and we think, what's the use? I can't. The truth is, no, we can't, but God can. And if we use what God has given us, the Eucharist, the sacrament of reconciliation, if we use these gifts again and again and again, God will see us through to eternal life. May God abundantly bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.